Ooh, smiley. This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. The time is 1 o'clock. Time for the news with Vaughan Savage.
Libya has challenged the US-based campaign group Human Rights Watch to prove its claim that Colonel Gaddafi's forces are using cluster bombs in the rebel-held city of Misrata. Cluster bombs have been banned by more than 100 countries. The Libyan government has denied they're using them. Misrata has come under more heavy bombardment from pro-Gaddafi forces. Rebels say at least 100 rockets have been fired, and doctors say they're struggling to cope with the number of casualties. Nick Clegg has used a campaign speech for the local elections in England to praise the achievements of the coalition government. But he's also told Liberal Democrat candidates that being in coalition should not stop them questioning the Conservatives' policies and calling on their mistakes. Five NATO soldiers and five Afghan troops have been killed by a suspected suicide bomber at a military base in eastern Afghanistan. The coalition soldiers are not thought to be British. Voting has begun in the Nigerian presidential elections. The current president, Goodluck Jonathan, has promised there will be no repeat of the fraud that has marred previous polls. Early this morning, a bomb exploded near a counting centre in the northeastern city of Maiduguri. The American Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has arrived in South Korea for talks on North Korea's nuclear program. Washington and Seoul are hoping to persuade Pyongyang to resume discussions on nuclear disarmament. The Highways Agency says the M1 in North London will remain closed for several more hours. It was shut yesterday after a scrapyard fire. It's hoped one lane will be reopened northbound by the end of the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley between Manchester United and Manchester City. The Royal Navy frigate HMS Cumberland has returned to her home port of Plymouth to be decommissioned. Her last tour of duty saw her evacuating hundreds of refugees from the Libyan city of Benghazi to Malta. The weather, there'll be patchy cloud, but some sunny spells will come through. A few showers will develop through the afternoon, particularly across the east of the UK. The BBC News and Weather at 1:02.
Read by Vaughan Savage. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. In an hour's time at 2 o'clock, we'll be hearing the lunchtime concert, another chance to hear last Monday's concert from Wigmore Hall. It's given by Trio Wanderer, two works on their programme, Beethoven's Piano Trio in B-flat, Opus 11, and Brahms' Piano Trio in B, Opus 8. That's in an hour's time. But right now, it's time to join Lucy Skeeping to explore the music of the past in today's Early Music Show.
Migrare ad homo, ubi requiem. The countertenor James Bowman and the tenor Guy de May with the Riccioker Consort in Peccator Ubi Est, O Sinner, Where Art Thou? It's a sombre lament, a dialogue between a sinner and an angel. I abandoned light for shadows. We must confess our sins and repent. And the composer is Henri Dumont, a man who may not be all that familiar these days, but who was responsible for some of the most important innovations in 17th century France when it came to sacred vocal music. In today's programme, we're focusing on Dumont, whose highly successful career took him from the churches of Paris into the royal court itself, the chapel of Louis XIV, for whom he wrote some of his most profound music. The pieces we're going to hear are all motets. It's a word that's bandied around quite a bit when it comes to early music. And actually, we're not quite sure of its origin. It may come from a Latin word meaning to move, referring to the movement of the different voices altogether. Or more likely, I would have thought, from the French word mot, meaning a word. Certainly words and their meaning were an important element for Dumont. He introduced into France what was known as the petit motet, a new type of religious music that featured not a full-blown chorus, but solo singers accompanied by a simple basso continuo, as we've heard just now. But he also did compose sacred music on a larger scale, the so-called grand motets that were heard at Versailles, where he was director of the Royal Chapel for more than 20 years. This is Les Folies Françoises and an Amour Chamber Chorus directed by Patrick Cohen-Aquinin with Domine in Virtu Tua.
Thank you.
Domine in Virtu Tua, a grand motet by Henri Dumont, performed there by Les Folies Françoises and the Namur Chamber Chorus, directed by Patrick Cohen-Aquinine. Part of a concert given last summer at the Church of Saint-Hubert and recorded by our colleagues at the European Broadcasting Union for us. And we'll be hearing some more highlights from that concert later on. But first, a bit more about Dumont. He was born in 1610 near Liège, which was in those days an independent principality. We know he trained at the choir school at Maastricht and that he went to Paris in his late 20s. But he's hardly heard of again until the early 1640s, when he was appointed organist of the Church of St Paul in the Marais district. His first motet collection, the Cantica Sacra, contained pieces for two, three or four voices with continuo. In fact, this kind of small scale or petit motet had already been in vogue in Italy for some 40 years, but it was the first time France had heard anything quite like it. And Dumont followed up with two more publications, including settings of psalms, again for small forces. We're going to hear in Lectulo Meo, a passage from the Song of Songs that Dumont set three times during his career. This version is for solo voice, and as you'll hear, it's characterised by an echo effect, where the singer repeats a line quietly as if from far away, a technique that was seen in those days as a sign of a highly accomplished vocalist. In my bed at night, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. The soloist here is Sandrine Pio.
Thank you.
saw ye whom my soul loveth, the motet in Lectulo Meo, a setting by Henri Dumont of text from The Song of Songs. The soprano there was Sandrine Pio with Les Talents Lyriques, directed by Christophe Rousset. By the 1640s, Dumont had become a respected figure around Paris. He took part in private concerts, he was granted French nationality, and he and his wife enjoyed a comfortable, if modest, living in lodgings provided by St. Paul's Church. But now he was lucky enough to get his big break, becoming harpsichordist for the king's brother, the Duke of Anjou. It was indeed a foot in the door and the beginning of a brilliant career through the ranks. When Louis XIV married his new queen, the Infanta Marie-Thérèse, Dumont was appointed her private organist. Next came the post of sous-maître at the Royal Chapel, and finally, top dog, master of music to the king himself. Our next piece is one of Dumont's grand motets he composed during his time as a member of the Chapel Royal. He wrote them over a 20-year period, and they were published after his death by the express order of His Majesty, the publication tells us. These motets were for large forces, and they formed an impressive repertory for Louis XIV at the time of his move to Versailles. This snippet from the collection's dedication does reveal a little of what was going on in Dumont's creative mind. "Sire, several years ago I had the honour of presenting to Your Majesty my motets for two voices. I have since ascertained that two voices are surely too weak to allow me to be heard on a subject on which I wish to express myself better, and hope Your Majesty will permit me to employ three or four voices." So with soloists, choirs and orchestra, Dumont had made the transition from the petit motet to the pompous, official, if you like, and of course very royal, language of the grand motets. Superflumina Babylonis takes its text from Psalm 137. The language is French and the style is both mournful and powerful, from the solo lament to the really splendid final chorus.
Sorry.
Superflumina Babylonis, a grand motet by Henri Dumont. The performers were Les Folies Francois and the Namur Chamber Chorus, directed by Patrick Cohen-Akenin, part of a concert they gave last summer at the Saint-Hubert Festival in Belgium. And the last two works we're hearing in today's programme were also taken from that concert. Cansava, Me Domine, in common with other similar motets, isn't exactly structured in the conventional sense. It's not in sections or it's not in contrasting movements. Rather, it's a series of thematic ideas that follow the text, linked together. And as you'll hear, there are changes in metre, in mood and in texture. Dumont had become one of the leading composers of both petit and grand motets, and he'd hugely contributed to a genre almost entirely unknown in France before him. He was well recognised and paid accordingly. He was made abbé at Notre Dame de Silly, and in 1676 his brilliant career was crowned by his appointment as canon of the chapter of St. Servatius in Maastricht, where his family and friends still lived. So here is Conserva Me Domine, which begins with a short symphony for violins and viola and continuo.
Oh,
Conserva Me Domine, a motet by Henri Dumont, master of music to Louis XIV. It's one of the highlights from a concert given last summer by Les Folies Francois and the Namur Chamber Chorus, directed by Patrick Cohen-Akinin. And we'll let them bring today's early music show to an end, although not this time with music by Dumont. At the French court in the late 17th century, it was normal for the text of motets that had been heard during the Royal Mass to be published. And in 1684, a collection appeared with motets by Dumont and by another court composer, Pierre Robert, and also by one of Dumont's more famous contemporaries at court, Jean-Baptiste Lully. Of course, we tend to think of Lully's job, first and foremost, as organising the king's musical entertainments, ballets, operas, pastoral diversions, multimedia spectacles and all the rest. And we don't really know what inspired this theatrical animal to join Dumont and the others in the composition of sacred music, but perhaps inspired by Dumont's own achievements. In the winter of 1664, Lully produced a Miserere, based on Psalm 51. It's a penitential text, and Madame de Sévigné, the aristocratic wit and letter writer, is known to have wept her way through it. She was probably pretty impressed by Lully's double choir effects as well, with the small and large choruses playing off against each other, and with the orchestral writing whose colour and texture helps so much to highlight certain words as the work sweeps through the emotions from melancholy and tragedy to sweetness and, in the end, a feeling of noble victory. I'm certain many people at the time and since agreed with Madame de Sévigné when she wrote, "I cannot believe there is music different from this in heaven itself."
Meditate, 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 me
the end of Lully's Miserere. The performers were Les Folies Françoises and the Namur Chamber Chorus, directed by Patrick Cohen-Acnin. Today's early music show on Lully's contemporary, Henri Dumont, was presented by Lucy Skeeping.
On BBC Radio 3, music for Holy Week. A whole day of concerts from five countries around the world, courtesy of the European Broadcasting Union. Music for Easter from Spain, Australia, Belgium, and as the centrepiece of the day, the Royal Concertgebouw's traditional performance of a Bach Passion, the St. John, live from Amsterdam. And to round things off, the BBC Singers, live in London's Knightsbridge. Music for Holy Week from across Europe and the world. Tomorrow from 12 noon on BBC Radio 3.
Well, looking ahead an hour to World Roots, Lucy Duran will be joining the revellers at the 2009 Ganawa and World Music Festival on Morocco's Atlantic coast. It's an annual festival in celebration of the ancient tradition of trance music, and we'll be hearing a performance by a Berber singer and an improvised collaborative concert by New Orleans jazz band Congo Nation and local musicians Agadir Ganawa. That's in World Roots in hour's time at 3 o'clock. But now at 2, it's time for another chance to hear last Monday's live Wigmore Hall concert. And the presenter is Fiona Talkington.
It's Brahms and Beethoven today from a piano trio whose very name pays homage to Schubert and to German Romanticism. They're the trio Wanderer, who met while studying at the Paris Conservatoire in the late 1980s and very quickly built up a reputation for their great sense of communication and excitement. Today they're playing Brahms' B major trio in its 1889 revised version. That'll be in about 20 minutes or so. First of all, it's Beethoven and his piano trio in B flat, opus 11. This music started off as a trio for clarinet, cello and piano, but with a publisher's eye on potential sales, Beethoven produced an alternative version for the more conventional piano trio lineup with violin, cello and piano. It was probably the fine Viennese clarinetist Joseph Baer who inspired Beethoven to turn the final movement of the trio into a set of variations based on a popular tune of the day, which came from a comic opera called L'Amor Marinaro, Love at Sea, by Joseph Weigl. Apparently Beethoven often wondered whether he should write another finale for this trio and let the variations stand alone, but his witty and inventive variations on the tune are a great showcase for the musicians. And here are the members of the trio Wanderer now, the pianist Vincent Koch, the violinist Jean-Marc Philippe Spajabedian, and the cellist Raphael Perdue to play Beethoven's piano trio in B-flat, opus 11.